Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's in there, in the other box there, out of Queens, New York. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel good about today, Stephen.
You should.
I think it's going to be a fun episode.
I'm not used to wearing my hat forward, but we had to because of the coinkydink with our guest.
Don't hurt yourself.
That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Sean Weech. He is the creator of Holomento, a permadeath, I can't believe that's a thing, RPG inspired by classics such as Zelda combined with roguelike elements, because why not? Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be an exciting one because your game kind of left some jaws on the floor when it first showed up on Kickstarter. So I can't wait. I mean, this was something we jumped on right away and we can't wait to hear the story about it and what you have planned for it. But for everyone who is new to the Dual Screens Podcast, this is the internet's number one indie developer interview podcast. Probably. The show posts each and every Friday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, so your sister's ass. We're everywhere. I'm telling you, we're everywhere. And if you want to watch the video version of the podcast, go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreensTV. And if you're watching right now on that YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, the thumbs up, leave the comments and all that other fun stuff, because we love to see it. Because when numbers go up, our smiles go up and Andy's peen goes up. And it's a great time. We love it. And you know what? If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. You know, it's not going to hurt you. Just leave a review. It's really not going to hurt. Anyway, Andy, I'm going to kick it over to you for our ceremonial, traditional lead-in question of the show. Take it away.
There's a very specific thing on my mind, Sean, as I'm browsing through the Kickstarter.
All right.
Brace yourself.
There is a tier that says design an item.
Yes.
How raunchy can this get? Because I can spend some money and propose to you a very nice looking dick saber.
Dick saber. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. The dick saber, okay, is canon now in video games. The dick saber exists in video games right now.
True. Am I going to get a copyright strike?
No, because Andy is
I own the rights exclusively to the Dick Saber.
Yes. Andy has created a Dick Saber in Panzer Paladin. It is canon. It exists. And it does work. It does absolute work. So yeah, this is a legitimate question. You could be can't believe I'm about to say this, but you can join the annals, or the anals, as it were. Of the Dick Saber video games. How does that feel?
I mean, it's definitely an honor. I would have to think about it because I don't know how the publisher feels about that.
That's true. Right. That's true.
I think listen. Exactly. I think you just publishers. see the design first and, you know, get a sense of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it calls out to you in a certain way, then it's got stats already included. So there's the work's done.
The work's done. It's a penetrating weapon.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, penetrating weapon. It's almost like a repeater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice weapon.
It's just how much balls do you have as a developer?
As a developer. And on your saber. How many balls do you have on your saber?
That wasn't the question I was expecting to be first.
No.
And
come out swinging with that one.
Absolutely. That's how we roll over here. But for those who don't know what Holomento is, why don't you give the elevator pitch to our listeners and to our fans and to anybody who may have just strolled in here and has no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, Holomento, like you said, indie permadeath RPG. And it's like, well, what does that mean? And so we kind of break it down into like three basic things, right? Exploring, fighting, and rebuilding. And rebuilding is kind of the part that sets Holomento apart from a lot of other roguelites like this.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's like the exploration part, right? You go run around the world and find everything. There's a bunch of shortcuts, very Dark Souls inspired shortcuts, actually. I really love Dark Souls for like world design and things like that. So there's a lot of that going on. And then it's going to have a mix of like handcrafted and procedurally generated dungeons.
Okay.
And so essentially you're going to go through right now we're targeting like 3 out of a total of 8 dungeons each run. So you choose which dungeons you want to do. Beat those dungeons on that run, get the end item from those, and then you can go and finish the run, basically. So that's one aspect of it. That's kind of the exploration part. Fighting part, typical in a RPG like this. You got third-person combat, and it's quite a mix of combat. I mean, you guys have seen some of the gameplay. There's a mix of revolvers, shotguns, ARs, melee weapons, swords, shooting magic out of your fists, kind of everything there.
What was the inspiration behind that? Like, why did you guys go so versatile with the combat? Did you just couldn't settle on something, so you just threw it all together?
I was like, you know what? There's so many different things, and I have all these animations. So a lot of those animations I did not make myself. I found packs for free.
Okay.
Like, man, it'd be really cool to throw all this stuff together. And so I just tried it. I'm like, oh, this feels really good to have all this variety. And so some of the playstyle variety there is also inspired by like Binding of Isaac, where items affect so much of what you do. Like one item, if you get like Brimstone, that's a totally different play style than just like rapidly shooting little tears, right? So the variety of the weapons kind of is inspired from that as well.
Wow.
Yeah, there's something about fighting a giant rat with a crown on its head with a grenade launcher. I get the swords and the shields and like those things, but like the guns just dials it up to a whole other level of yes, please.
I started adding the guns, it was great. Yeah, it felt really good.
It feels like a every little gamer's dream of getting in there and just being like, yeah, but what if I had a sword, a shield, and a Gatling gun?
Exactly. That's the way I approach it. I'm like, what if you could do this?
I had no limits.
Like, oh, I can make that. Yeah, let's do it.
And the third part, the world building, you said.
Yes, that one is a really big one. So that one's mostly inspired by Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, because the Tarrytown quest in that game is one of my all-time favorite quests from any game I've ever played. I freaking love that quest of rebuilding and building that town from scratch, not really rebuilding, but I figured, okay, how can we apply this to everything in the game, right? So building shortcuts, building shops, building towns, everything. I want to make it so everything is upgradable, because I freaking love upgrades, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It reminds me of one of our favorites here on the show, Dark Cloud, where, you know, the whole purpose of that game was getting pieces of the town that was destroyed and building it to the townsfolk's liking. But this seems to have a little bit more freedom, where you're kind of building it to your style, like how you want to make things kind of move around and how you could get around the areas. Now, you said it was that some of the shortcuts are Dark Souls inspired. Does the world building talk to that system? Like, if you're rebuilding the world, are you rebuilding those shortcuts? Are you doing all of that stuff Dark Souls style, or is it a mixture of both?
There's kind of a mixture. So yeah, there's some that are like one-way shortcuts. You open them, they stay open forever. Very much Dark Souls. And then others are like, okay, you build a bridge from scratch, you need to get this much money to support it, or you need to finish this quest line to support it, things like that. So yeah, it's a mix of both of those.
And yet, in all these complex systems, you have permadeath in this situation thrown in for some insane reason.
I should explain that a little bit.
How does that, because it's like, does all my shit go away if I die?
Yeah, so it's important to say that. So permadeath really only affects your items. That's it. So there's permanent stats that can be affected. So actually the museum system, which hasn't really been talked about in the Kickstarter at all, there's a museum that you can go and donate things to, like relics. And when you upgrade and donate things to the museum with the relics, you get a little bit, like a very slight stat boost from that that's permanent.
Okay.
And that's different than the item stat boosts you get that are short but much more powerful. So there's kind of permanence there. And then the shortcuts are all permanent. You open shortcuts, they stay open forever. Upgrading the towns, permanent, stays open forever. Your money stays. You don't lose money when you die. So the only thing you lose when you die is the items from your run.
So how do you handle that narratively? For like, are we creating a character from scratch and then respawning that character? Or are we respawning and rolling a new character? How does that work?
So a lot of the story was driven from this idea of gameplay. Basically, you're a new person each time you restart. You're a new traveler making your journey through the Eventide Hollow. So instead of being the same guy respawning over and over again, you're actually a new person starting a new journey, traveling through.
Is the appearance like randomized, or are we building that character? How does that work?
Yeah, so you have a certain amount of starting classes that you start with. So there's the, let's see if I remember them all. Wanderer, Gunslinger, Ranger, Knight, Musashi, and the Cleric right now.
Those are the starting classes. Good lord.
Yes.
Seven classes.
Yeah. So what's interesting with the classes is the only difference between the classes is their starting items. So like you don't have different stats based on what class you are. It's the stats that you get from those items.
Oh, okay.
So like the Musashi has a certain outfit and those stats come from that outfit.
Right.
And you can find those items elsewhere. So you could completely reroll your class basically by picking up items. Like actually on a stream, we had someone playing a cleric and he basically rerolled the entire thing into a gunslinger because he got all the gunslinger items in addition to the stuff he had from the cleric.
Wow.
And it was very broken. I can tell you that. There's a lot of broken builds. Balancing needs some work. I'll say that.
So what's your plan for that? Like, how do you like, you have some field in front of you where you're going to be building this thing up. So like what's number one on your list right now? Is it just getting content complete and then working on balancing, or do you have a team that's kind of working on everything as you go?
Yeah. So how nitty gritty do you want me to get on this response? Cause I can get right down to the weeds.
I mean,
this is really high level. People come here to hear how games are made. That's why people come here.
Yourself, Sean. Just let it all out.
All right. So right now, I'll tell you, I'm in the save system. The save system has a number of issues, and I'm going through and rewriting the entire thing in C++ because it was written in Blueprints. The game's made in Unreal Engine.
Okay.
And it has a lot of issues. So the current save system is entirely just one slot. And when you save and overwrite, there's a bunch of issues underneath that are like overwriting the wrong thing, there's changing all this. So I'm redoing the save system completely because when I started the save system, it was basically when I first started making the game. And things have changed so much since then, it's like, it just needs a rewrite.
Right, sure.
So that's kind of my biggest task right now during the Kickstarter is doing that. And it's going to be an unlimited save slot system so you can keep having unlimited runs. It'll be nice rather than just a single save slot where all your data is so you can have unlimited, because it really irks me in games where you can't have different progress on different files. Yeah, so that's kind of the focus right now. But in terms of the bigger picture, we're hoping to go into early access sometime in the fall of this year. That's the goal.
Wow. Oh, nice. All right.
So, there's a number of things I need to get done before. Primarily, the dungeon system hasn't even been started. So I get to do that. But a lot of the combat and stuff is already there, so it shouldn't be too hard to do that. It's just the procedural system I got to come up with still. But we already have like bosses and things like that, so it shouldn't be a huge amount of work for that. Getting the upgrades, so there are upgrades and stuff like that for the towns, but it's not actually implemented with the current save system. Like I said, I got to redo that, so I've been pushing that off. So getting the upgrades working properly is on the list, and then really just fleshing out the rest of the world, lots of content, things like that, and then bug fixes, of course. Those are kind of the four main things before early access.
What is the character's main thrust? What's driving them to go to dungeons, fight bosses? What are the stakes in this world?
So basically, the entire world was hit by a cataclysmic event that's explained at the beginning of the game. But it has to do with, have you seen the book that's like on your waist? And I don't know how much of that you guys have seen. There's a book basically that's tied to your waist, and it is the Hollowmento is the book. Mm-hmm. And that's actually built out of the words hollow and memento, because it's eventide hollow. And then it's kind of a memento that sticks with each traveler. That makes sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you so far.
Yeah, that's where the name comes from. So that thing is both the cause of the curse of the land and what contains it. So travelers are tied to that Hollowmento. And when they die, their soul gets connected to it, which is why you keep like the money and things like that. Everything is tied to the book itself. But it's also what caused all of the destruction that leads to like the ruin you see with the castle and things like that. And all the towns are destroyed. So that's all tied together. So what the main driving factor is you're trying to rebuild this world using the tool that destroyed it, basically. And so you got to go through, and I haven't explained this yet, so it's kind of under wraps. It's actually going to be a Kickstarter update. I'll give a little teaser of it.
Okay.
Hold on. When is this episode going up, Andy?
This is going to go up.
We have this Friday. We have next Friday's done already. So this is going to be
2 weeks. Okay.
Hold on. Let's get you a date. The 9th.
Okay. The 9th.
Does that make sense? the 9th of April. So if you're going to be talking about it, you could talk about it.
Probably be out by then, I would say.
Okay. I would hope.
I'll give a pretty decent teaser of it. How's that?
Here we go. Tease the hell out of us.
So there's basically these stones that are tied to each of the dungeons. And you need to collect a certain amount of them, like I said, in order to get through to the end. And so those also tie into how the book works with the cataclysmic event and the curse and all this stuff. So all of that ties together. So the reason you're going to these dungeons is you're getting these stones to help defeat the curse. And I won't say more than that.
Okay.
And then you fight all your previous selves in a massive battle royale.
You're actually not super far off. And I'm not going to say
It becomes a Musou game where you're just fighting 10,000 of your fallen.
We've gone from Breath of the Wild to Hyrule Warriors.
That's right. Happening. It didn't say which Zelda inspired the game. Yeah. It could be any of them.
It's just Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah. Oh man, so you're on Kickstarter. I think it's just a few days now, right? You're up there, maybe.
Yeah, we're on what is this, day five? We launched on the 17th, so
yeah. So
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah.
You're going to be well into the middle of this by the time our listeners hear this. So why don't we tell everybody what that experience has been like? Why did you go to Kickstarter? And what has the experience been like so far?
Well, Kickstarter has gone a lot better than I expected. Honestly, our first 5 days have been phenomenal. We've gotten so much support for relatively unknown game, really. I mean, there's a couple of ads up for it right now that the publisher's running, and then other than that, they had a couple streamer contacts, and then it's just our Discord and our Twitter and our Reddit have gone crazy and spread the word like mad. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
So our community has been absolutely fantastic, and huge shout out to them, especially our Discord. Our Discord is awesome and very active.
What's that like for you? This is like your first game development experience. Like you have a software background, HP. Yeah. I read up on you. Yeah. This is like your first, attempt at making a video game, and you're getting a huge response from it. What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I've really tried start to finish to create a product and sell it. Right. Before I've done hobbyist game development before this, like just trying things out. I'm like, oh, it would be really cool to try this and that, but never on the scale of this, and never on trying to actually finish something and go all the way through with it. So yeah, it's been tremendous. The response has been amazing, and I'm kind of blown away.
So with that little experience, how did you get a publisher on board with you? Like, you know, sometimes publishers are a little apprehensive about situations like that.
Have you seen the game, Steven?
I don't listen.
It sells itself automatically.
You and I both know that there are certain vertical slices that could be shown that have been shown to us by the biggest of developers that have fallen flat on their face. So like,
it's all smoke and mirrors.
All smoke and mirrors is right.
Built on a house of cards.
So how did that relationship come about?
Yeah, so one of the first things I did when I started like seriously developing was get on Twitter and Reddit and Discord, right? So Twitter is actually where the publisher found me. And I think at the time I was like really, really small, like maybe 100 followers or something. It was like the first couple of months and it's brand new. And I had this tweet, and I don't even think this is in the game anymore. I think I took it out, although it might be buried somewhere. But I did this like stress test, basically, with this huge amount of spiders, like just tons of spider enemies, like 200 spider enemies just running around like crazy. And they had like these gross procedurally generated limbs, and it was gnarly. And
I love it.
I guess the publisher saw that and they're like, what the heck? This is so cool. And then they started scrolling through everything else and they're like, oh, we want on board. They pretty much bought in as soon as I started gaining a following.
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah. But we didn't sign with them until November of 2020. And this was, when they saw that, I think it was either February or March. So there have been ongoing conversations back and forth. They were like, okay, here's what we're thinking, things like that. A lot of behind the scenes for about 5 or 6 months before we finally signed, saying, okay, we want to go with Deck 13. But yeah, we got approached by a couple other publishers, but Deck 13 is the one we selected because they were with us basically from the beginning. So they were really on board. Mm-hmm. But they bought in a lot. And our product manager from that team, Dennis, he's a big streamer in Germany, and he's been helping out with a lot of things. Like I said, a product manager normally wouldn't. He's been helping out with 3D models and animation and stuff, which totally don't expect from a publisher.
Yeah.
So they're like super bought into it.
Wow. They're all in. Yeah.
They're all in. They love it. So it's been tremendous and really, really happy to be working with them.
Wow. Outside of the publisher coming in here and making 3D models, what's the team look like for on your end?
Yeah.
Is it just you have a handful?
Pretty much everything is me besides music and sound. So okay. I have Adlib Piano, Adil is his name. He's doing all the music in the game, and he does absolutely phenomenal work, like insane. I don't know how much of the music you guys have heard. We do have a playlist on the Kickstarter, but that's, gosh, I think it's only like 8 of the 70 songs he's made already.
Wow, okay.
And okay. He is insane. Like, this guy can put out a song in like 2 days, and it's like flawless. You're like, this doesn't make any sense. How are you doing this? I mean, the guy is nuts. And he actually, we just finished up one of the, it's going to be the final boss music. So we're not going to share that one. But we did live recorded guitar, drums, and bass for that. And it's like heavy metal. Really, really good. Like, really good. And we're super excited for that one. And they just spent like a week mixing that. That's the longest I've ever seen him spend on the track. It was like a week.
So what's going on, man? What's
the
going
guy
on?
Is crazy. Yeah. It's awesome. And I heard it's like super good. So yeah, he's the musician, composer, everything. And then the sound designer, Wilfried, he's been doing a lot of work. He has access to the source code and everything. He's digging in there, putting all the sounds in. Making some of the sounds himself. He actually owns, well, not owns, maybe owns, I can't remember. He's part of a company that makes like sound follies and stuff like that.
Sure.
So they actually go out and record a lot for, one of the ones he sent me was they were recording for supercars for other games and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like really cool stuff, like recording like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and things like that.
That's dope.
Pretty neat. Yeah. So he's our sound designer. He's worked on a couple AAA titles. I don't think he wants me talking about those. And he's worked on another.
He can talk to us about those at a future date.
Yeah.
He's come awesome. On. And he's worked on a couple of other indie titles as well. So he's great. So yeah, that's kind of the three core team there. And then we just picked up a concept artist who is now also doing 3D design for us because he has experience in Blender. So it's like, we just get these people and they just go so above and beyond. They get like multiple roles.
That's awesome.
They can smell the dollars, Sean.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
This is a gateway to my future yachts. I can see it.
Yeah.
The writing's on the wall.
If, you know, and this is the question with every Kickstarter, right? It's like, if your vision can actually be met, you do have something special there. Like you have something that can go toe to toe with the big boys, but also has enough indie charm and enough freshness, I guess would be the word, to really make it stand on its own, as opposed to being the oh, it's another one of XYZ. It's another roguelike. It's another Zelda-like. It's another, you know, okay, well, sure. You're always going to have those comparisons, and who doesn't want to be in those conversations with, you know, being compared to Breath of the Wild or whatever. But you have some systems there that are really unique that could really set this thing apart. Was that something that was your purpose? Like, did you say, you know, because you grew up and played Zelda and you loved this Breath of the Wild mission and you wanted to make something that was more expansive on that. Was that always your goal to go out there and make something that was derivative of those? Or did it just kind of happen accidentally with just because those are the games you played?
Yeah. So do you want to know the full background and where the game actually started?
Absolutely.
From? It's kind of funny.
It's what we're here for.
That's why
exactly.
We're here.
Okay. So originally I'd been using, let's see, Unreal Engine for about 2 years before I officially started the project. And I was doing a kind of just like an environment thing where I wanted to create an environment based off of a picture I found. It was this concept art that was really cool. And it's actually one of the shots you'll see, I think it's in the trailer, where you're kind of looking out from this cave over these ruins and the castles in the background and all this stuff. And originally that was just an environment that I recreated from a random, and I don't even remember, I don't think it actually turned into anything, that original concept art, but it was just a random concept art I had found. And that's where it all started. I just wanted to recreate this environment in Unreal based off of this single picture. So the game actually started as just an environment. And then I threw a character in there. I started playing around with it. I'm like, okay, this is a neat little place. Maybe I'll expand on this. So I I kind of built that out. I expanded that, and I'm like, okay, what if I throw some weapons on here and have them start doing some stuff? And I was like, okay. So it was really a evolution of parts of the game. And it wasn't until about, gosh, 2 or 3 months into just playing around with mechanics that I started to formulate, okay, here's kind of what I want to do. I want it to be a roguelite. I want it to be a permadeath. I like these systems and I really like these games. How can I kind of pull my favorite things from these games and these systems and make something unique? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it evolved over a couple months. But yeah, originally it was just making an environment off of some concept art. So it's funny how things start.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really liked about Breath of the Wild was the freedom you get with the game's various items and systems. Like, it wasn't about clear character progression. It was just, here's some tools and the world's like a giant playground for you. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're looking at with this game, or is it more of a traditional character progression with stats or abilities as they progress throughout?
Right. So you do have the stats and abilities for sure. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit more rigid than Breath of the Wild in that mm-hmm. regard. And it doesn't have the same exact open worldness that Breath of the Wild does, where you can climb everything and go everywhere. Because I do take the Dark Souls inspired approach mm-hmm. with the world design, where things, you loop back on places, kind of Metroidvania style, open shortcuts, right. open things up. So that wouldn't really lend itself very well to that Breath of the Wild exploration, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the world design definitely is more influenced by that, I would say.
So you can't sling slot yourself to like the last boss within the first 10 minutes of the game.
Well, I won't say that yet. I've seen some pretty goofy things you can do. I recently added this dash ability. If you mm-hmm. get this certain item, and there's actually 5 of them, one for each element. And if you stack all 4 of them, you can break through several walls by pressing all of the buttons at the same time, because it's additive.
Oh, good Lord.
And you can totally clip through items if you have all the dash abilities and press them at the same time.
Oh, this is going to make for some fun YouTube content at some point.
There's already some Twitch clips out there. They're great. I have seen some really goofy stuff already that I'm like, do I want to patch that? Because that's pretty good.
What has surprised you the most watching people stream the game that's alpha state? Like, oh, I know that was possible in my game.
Yeah, there's a couple of bugs that are like really irritating. I see that are recurring, like not fun bugs. And I'm like, oh gosh, there it is on stream again. And I'm like, I knew that was there and I tried to fix it in time, but I didn't have enough time. And I'm like, oh gosh. And then there's other ones where I'm just like, what the hell did you just do? Like, seen someone slingshot pretty much across half the map by mm-hmm. clipping into a very specific rock and doing this certain ability. I'm like, who would have? I don't even understand. And I'm like, only a handful of streamers have this. And how are they finding this stuff already? It's crazy.
That's commitment. Yeah. That's, you know, there's a foundation for a good game when someone can break it because they're playing it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you have something really good there to build off.
Yeah. So. I mean, we have, I think, 150-ish alpha testers right now, and there's probably about 20 that play it quite consistently, and they're always bringing me new bugs and stuff. And I'm like, I go and look at some, because I have some of them added on Steam, and I look at the profile, it's like 30 hours already, and I'm like, this game's an alpha and you've already played it 30 hours, I must be doing something right.
It's like your own QA testing. It's like, yeah, here, it's like great. Send me the list at the end of the week when you're done, I'll go through all the shit at some point.
Yeah. I get a million emails on just random keep at it. Bugs.
I mean, people breaking things like that is also a testament to how easy these systems are probably to understand, right? Because once you understand the systems and you understand how they play together, you go, huh, I wonder if, and then you break something and you're like,
how much freedom do I really have?
Yeah.
Too much is the answer.
Yeah. A lot of that really started with these abilities. When I think I added those in either November or December. Basically, abilities are tied to items, right? So you get a certain item and it has an ability attached to it. You drop that item and then you lose that ability, things like that. Mm. So when I added those, there was a number of really great bugs that came out with that. There was one where you could completely cancel fall damage by just using an ability midair. So you could do huge skips through the world by just jumping down everything and then using an ability right before you landed. There's the dash thing, like I talked about, where you just clip through walls really easily.
And I mean, good Lord.
People do some awesome stuff, and I love watching it.
This is going to break us, Steven, I feel, when this comes out.
It's one of those things that I'm so intrigued by that I want to know. I don't even want to look at it until I get it. You know what I mean? Like I want to be, I just want it here. And the more I'm going to obsess about it, the more upset I'm going to be that it's not in my hands right now. That's just how I'm going to be. I know it. I know it for a fact. Like most of the stuff that I kickstart, I'm like, it's gone. I'm putting it away. I'm pretending it's never going to happen again. It was just a charitable donation. I'll write it off on my taxes. I'll never see. And then it's like, oh, 2.5 years later, we got it. What is this? I don't even remember. Oh yeah. Okay. That's how I like to do this thing. Because like when, I mean, you know how we get when the big guys tease something, we're like, we obsess over it until it comes out and then it's delayed. And then this, and then that. Just let the thing happen. Like that's, yeah. That's the approach I take to this, but yes, it's one of those games that I'm going to like, I could tell. Cause I'm not really a rogue person. Excuse me. I'm not big into the rogue elements, but like, it seems like you're doing it the way that I do appreciate it, where it's not, you know, you're only losing your, the flair. You're not losing the foundation.
Right. Yeah, I don't want it to be frustrating at all. And the rogue really gives you a lot more playability, right? I don't want it to be a 2-hour game, you finish and you're done. Like in my opinion, that's not as fun. I like games that I can go back to and whittle on a little bit, they get an update, some new content, I can go back and whittle on it a little bit more.
Sure.
Like that. So
yeah,
that's definitely the approach I'm taking, where you can always come back to it and there should be something new to whittle on and find something. So
how big is this world we're playing through?
It's pretty big. I'm trying to think of a good comparison in size. You know, it's not as big as Breath of the Wild, I'll tell you that. That game is huge. Geez, I'm trying to think of a good comparable size.
The thing is,
with all the stuff you can do, it's not very open, and like, it's not a traditional open world where it's just empty and there's nothing to do. Like, there's tons of things to find. And go and discover
distractions is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
When
yeah.
When you say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the Witcher syndrome.
There's that overworld.
There's a game here.
It's pretty big. And then you have all the dungeons that are going to be there as well. So if you count the dungeons and the overworld, I can't think of a good size comparison. I would say it's comfortable enough that you can finish a run. Right now, you can finish a run in about 20 minutes because there's no dungeons. Just running end to end in the world, 20 minutes. If you're speed running, maybe 10. So it's big enough, 10 minutes it takes you to run end to end without crazy items or anything. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when you say, like, let's talk about what your goals are as far as what you want a player to do from opening credits to end credits of a run in this game. What's your target for this? Is your target that somebody could sit down in a night and complete, you know, a run with a character or a couple of characters? Is this something that you want people to be playing for, you know, a Dark Souls-ian amount of time? Like, what's your goal here for that?
Yeah, so it's kind of in between those, I would say.
Okay.
I want it to be something you can pick up and just play casually, right? Like, okay, I'm just going to do a run and just say, that's it. Like, that's how I play probably Binding of Isaac is the closest comparison. Or Risk of Rain 2 is another comparison I get a lot from this game. Go play a couple runs, you're done for the day. But I also want it to be, okay, I want to go upgrade that shop and I'm going to grind and I'm going to do as many runs as I can to get that upgrade all the way maxed out. So I want it to be, you can totally just do it casually. And then you can also go and say, I want 100% this one part and just sit there and do runs and runs and runs. And yeah.
Nice.
I'm aiming for both of those.
When does PvP get tossed into the mix?
PvP? So there's no multiplayer.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens when this Kickstarter keeps going. You're gonna have to figure some shit out.
Yeah, for multiplayer, I would say that's gonna be a sequel or a DLC way down the line or something like that.
Okay.
But that has crossed your mind at some point.
Release. Yeah. I get asked about it all the time because people immediately make that connection. Like Risk of Rain 2 is probably the biggest one. Mm-hmm. People like, I want to play this co-op and go kill shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is great, but can I kill my friends?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I really want from this.
Yeah.
Game.
So, I mean, a lot of the systems are there, but the problem is the way the game is structured with the roguelite aspects, it would require a lot of reworks to make something like that happen, or a separate game mode entirely. So it's not completely out of the question, but I would say don't expect it for early access, especially don't expect it for early access, and I would say probably don't expect it for full release.
Of course.
Probably a sequel, if we do a sequel, or a later DLC down the line would be reasonable expectations if it happens.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Publisher keeps saying, don't tell anyone anything.
No,
I mean, like, well, I gotta give them that little bit of hope.
I mean, it's gotta be, it's gotta be predicated on the game's success and you know,
exactly
the support.
Multiplayer games, yeah, you have a lot more expense with like servers and things,
sure,
like that. Like, mm-hmm, there's a whole nother beast there.
Yeah,
from a single,
absolutely.
So
beast schmeast.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for you to say, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. This game, it had a lot of people excited in our little Discord in our family. We were like, yeah, we gotta reach out immediately. And it's supposedly you're like leaving forever. And we barely,
well, not forever.
We got you just in time, apparently.
Before, yeah, no, I'm not leaving forever. I'm just moving to Japan, which is about as far away from where I live as you can get.
Yeah.
What are you running from, Sean?
Yeah.
What am I running from? What am I running to is the better question. Yeah, I can't talk too much about the work I'll be doing over there. It's actually classified.
Classified what? Information.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Classified engineering work over there.
So you're doing classified shit and you're going to make this game.
Yeah,
simultaneously.
I know, I'm actually insane, right?
Too many secrets.
A little bit.
Too many secrets.
A little bit.
Too many secrets.
But again, you're right. You're in Japan. You know, the home a lot of great Dark Souls stuff.
How long before the FBI is asking us questions? Mm-hmm. You were the last public appearance.
We'll see. You might get a call, you know.
What do you know about Japan? I don't know. I played Ghost of Tsushima this year. It was good. They make video games. Nintendo.
Look,
Sony.
Look for the guy in the Squirtle hat.
That's what I know. That's right. Yeah. In Japan, they'll have a blast. Yeah. They'll have a blast doing that.
Yeah. I'll be the only one there with a Squirtle hat.
I would imagine. I would imagine so.
Do you speak the language, Sean? I'm just curious if you speak.
No, I want to learn it though. There's actually going to be some classes I can take on over.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's so neat. That's so neat.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And who knows? Maybe you'll meet some people that are going to help you with the game too.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, for sure. That would be awesome.
You never know.
So, yeah, we'll see how development looks when I'm over there. It looks like it should be still nights and weekends like it currently is.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, moving to a new country, you never know exactly what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So
to wrap up this part of the conversation, do you want to talk a little bit about what you're looking to get out of Kickstarter? What excuse me, I got a little tickle. What you're looking to, what goals you're really hoping to reach? Maybe there's some stuff that you haven't told anybody about, like some stretch goals. What are you trying to get out of Kickstarter right now?
Yeah, so there's some awesome stretch goals that actually they'll probably be revealed by the time this comes out. Mm-hmm. So okay. I can tell you guys. Consoles. PlayStation, Xbox, all that. Those are going to be stretch goals. I can't remember if we settled on, I think 40K is the stretch goal for PlayStation. And then Xbox, I think it's 50K. So, yeah, realistically, we're expecting to land in the 30 to 40K range is where we're going to end.
Okay.
All of our data that we have behind the scenes on the dashboard and everything shows that's where we should expect to land. Which is good. So we're happy with that. And in terms of where the money is going, if you guys are wondering about that, it's primarily going towards my sound designer, my music guy, and then we're going to have a couple more 3D artists helping out with NPCs, enemies, and bosses, things like that.
Yeah, I was curious because, you know, it's nowadays you are seeing Kickstarter games that also have publishers. I don't know if I know of any Kickstarter games that had a publisher before going to Kickstarter. I'm sure it exists. I just off the top of my head, I can't remember. So like, how does a conversation with your publisher go where, you know, obviously a publisher is putting up some money for this. They're, you know, publishing the game, but, how do you say, hey, you know, we need more money and do they just go, hey, go, you know, do a Kickstarter? Like, how does that.
So actually the Kickstarter has been almost 50-50 me. Well, I would almost say 75% them doing stuff on the
Kickstarter. Okay. Oh, nice.
So
okay.
Heavily, heavily involved in it. So they helped with the, I mean, Dennis made the trailer completely.
Okay.
So I just gave him all the tools to make it and he went and made it.
Nice.
So they did the trailer. They did a lot of the page. I went through and revised some of that. They did a lot of the art assets and things for that. They recorded all the gifts, all that. So
it's almost like they're looking for investors in like this little project or whatever that they have that, that and I mean, in their portfolio.
Kickstarter is almost as much funding as it is publicity, right? I mean, just getting more eyes on the game as well.
Yeah.
So that was a big reason for it too. But yeah, the 30K was chosen because that's what we think we're going to need for external artists, paying my sound effects guy, my composer, all that. Mm. So primarily that. I'm not going to see any of the money, honestly.
but
that's expected.
But you make up the money in time, right? Like the stuff that you would be doing, time is money. Everybody knows that. And if that time is going to go to somebody else and you could focus on, you know, the game systems and getting content complete now.
Yeah, up until 2 months ago, everything Blender me all the time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work and having other people helping out, just a little bit of help that Dennis and my concept artist, who's also helping with the 3D modeling work, Paul is his name. Just those two have helped out so much already just doing some of that. So getting more animators and 3D modelers is a huge help to me because the game code I'm totally on board with because software designer, software developer background, all that.
Right.
So
Andy, any final questions before we move on to our next segment?
Final parting thoughts. You know, when you see a game like this, I'm just drawn to like, listen, I have to throw some money at this thing. And I did before this.
Thank you very much.
I have now since gone back as of right now and changed my pledge to something slightly higher.
Oh.
And I think at some point, Stephen, we have to discuss what our item will look like in this game.
Oh, okay.
So we're on that level right now.
Perfect.
All right.
I have sent Sean a image of my Dick Saber for reference.
Just for references. It's just for references.
Just to see what we're capable of. That's all it is. It's
beautiful.
All right.
I love it.
As it should be.
I think with that, we should go right into
rapid fire. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're going to really get to know Sean here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So everybody just brace yourselves. We're going to start with some softball questions here. Easy peasy questions.
All right. Looking for short responses or long responses?
Whatever. I mean, shorter, the shorter your responses, the more questions we could ask you.
Right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Is cereal and milk a soup?
That's a good one. No.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Okay. What kind of milk do you put in your cereal?
I'm an almond milk guy. I'm actually lactose intolerant.
Oh, see? We learned things here.
See, I was like, I'll take a bet here. I'm not going to get a dull answer from this guy. I have a sense of it.
Uh-huh.
He did not disappoint you.
Uh-huh.
Good. I aim to not disappoint.
Very nice. What is the one dairy product that you just go, fuck it? And
ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, it's always ice cream.
It's always ice cream.
Pain,
for me, it's like those high creamy cheeses. Like I'm not lactose intolerant, but I definitely have like some GI issues when I have too much of
Every
something.
Every time I eat cheese, but man, it is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheese is so good.
Yeah.
Would you rather lose all of your hair or gain 50% more hair? I'm not telling you where it's going to go.
Oh, okay.
But there'll be an increase. There'll be an increase.
Well, I am slightly balding.
Okay.
Why I have the hat. So, losing it all is probably more realistic than gaining 50% more.
So, you'll take that. You can shave off the rest, you know.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. You know what? Yeah, I'll take the 50% more. I can shave every, I'd shave a lot. I'm a hairy dude. I won't lie. So,
congratulations. All your hair is growing out of the palms of your hands now.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst one.
You did it.
And the soles of your feet.
Disgusting.
Oh, man.
Good Lord. Okay.
That sounds really hard to shave. The wrinkles in your hand. I just want
more. You're just going to have to nair it. You're just going to have to put your hand in some nair and just wait and just wipe it off.
The ripping of the tearing.
At least you'll have some calluses. You know, you'll be able to do things.
True. I do play guitar, so I do have a
There you go. There you go. All right, so you play guitar.
Yeah, by play guitar, I mean like 6 months.
you're in a group of people. You're in a group of people, right? Next question. You're in a group of people. The guitar is right there. What song are you playing first?
Wonderwall. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding. I'm pretty shy.
We're back
when it comes
to disappointment now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm shy when it comes to playing in front of other people besides my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So I'm not huge into playing in front of others, but if I had to pick one, I really like Halsey. She's got some good tracks, and they're pretty easy to play on the guitar. So,
all right. It's a good. Go ahead, get into it. All right. What is your least favorite Legend of Zelda game?
Oof. Let's see.
The one that you could just be like, could this be erased from my memory? I just didn't, you know, I didn't care for it at all.
You guys are going to be surprised, but I've only really played 3 Zelda games and beaten 2 of them. Yeah.
Oh, so. You've got to expound on this. Which are the 3 you have played?
So Breath of the Wild. Technically, I've actually never beaten Breath of the Wild because I never beat Ganon, even though I did like everything else besides the Korok seeds. Because fuck that.
No one's doing that.
So yeah, Breath of the Wild. I'll say I finished it because I did pretty much everything but Ganon, and I was like, whatever. Wind Waker. I played a ton of Wind Waker growing up. That was the big one for me. And then I played like part of Ocarina of Time, but I never finished it.
Okay.
And so in terms of the one that I could get rid of, I also played part of Minish Cap as a kid.
Minish Cap is a good one.
Minish Cap is fun. Yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah, so I don't have enough experience with all the Zelda games to say which one I would hate. So pretty much anyone I haven't played, I guess, get out of here.
Okay. I'm going to take that as Skyward Sword. Steven, your turn.
That's probably the one I ever heard the best things about.
Would you rather be able to teleport to anywhere in the world or to any time in history or future?
I would say any time in history or the future, just because get rich quick, man. Go buy some Bitcoin.
Hell easy. Yeah. That's
the easy response, right?
You know how many games you can make, bro?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You just keep going back in time. Now, do you age when you go back in time? That's the real question.
I mean, who knows how time works, you know?
Yeah.
It's a human construct time.
There you go.
You see a spider in your house. Do
like
you
that.
A, look for a magazine and a glass, or do you B, set your house on fire?
I punch it and then
okay, all right.
Just smash it with the fist and then set the house on fire. Yeah,
punching spiders. I mean, if you're punching that shit,
spiders, man.
Spiders are. They're just the creepiest creatures. Like, like you couldn't have made it look just not as awful.
Like, I don't know, man. I still feel like roaches are way lower on the creep scale.
Oh, man, it's funny,
like there's at least some grace to a spider. You could find something to love in that. But a roach,
the fuzzy ones, like the little teeny fuzzy ones, are cute and everything like that.
With the big old eyes,
but you get those like those big ass fucking legs and stuff. And you're like, what are you doing? Get
anything
out of here!
Anything from Australia?
Daddy long legs.
That's just another planet. That's just another planet. Speaking of other planets, would you rather travel to a faraway galaxy or the deepest, darkest parts of the uncharted oceans on Earth? And now remember, this is science fiction. You can do it. There's no, it's not going to kill you. You don't have to worry about getting crushed by the ocean. You can go there. You could shine light. You could breathe and you could see what's there. Or you could go to like the Andromeda galaxy or something.
Or through a black hole.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because like if you go deep, like really deep in the ocean, there's some weird stuff down there that looks more alien than what you might even find out in space.
Hell yeah.
So I might go for that, actually. Because if you're going out way out in space, I mean, this is going to take a long ass time to get there and back. And it's like, maybe I don't want this to be a long trip. So I'm going to go down in the ocean.
I think you actually answered my next question. And that is, would you rather be a half centaur or a half merman, but it's their top half? That's the animal.
Top half? What is top half merman?
So it's like your fish top half is a fish.
Oh.
And you have human legs, and you have like a horse top and people.
Well, those
legs.
Both sound really useless.
I don't know. They made a whole cartoon out of the horse head.
Yeah
that's true.
Yeah.
You know what? If I could just be real life Bojack Horseman, that's not so bad, right?
Okay.
So I guess I'll take that one. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Neither one you have opposable thumbs or anything, so you're just kind of screwed in general, right?
That's true. That is true. What exotic animal would you like to have for a pet?
Ooh. Oh, geez. You know, are gorillas exotic? Because I freaking love gorillas.
And they will also destroy your whole entire self. Yeah, but yeah.
They'll eat you.
Absolutely. They will fuck you up.
Rip the limbs from your body.
Worth it.
If I could befriend a gorilla, like if it was like Coco the gorilla and there was no shot that I would be in any danger, like that would be an awesome friend to have. Just be like, yo.
Return to monkey, man.
All right there, Jane Goodall. Who is your favorite cartoon character?
Oh, I was a SpongeBob kid.
Oh, nice. SpongeBob is dope.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
What's your favorite SpongeBob video game?
Mm. Ooh, I liked Battle for Bikini Bottom, but actually the SpongeBob movie video game I thought was better.
Okay.
I didn't like that it didn't have an overworld. But I think the missions in that were so much better. And the driving, like the Krabby Patty driving sequences were awesome. That was like a dream for me as a kid.
I was not expecting an answer for that question. The kid's making a Zelda, inspired game who's played three Zeldas, but he could whip out those SpongeBob games. Like
two SpongeBob games. I also have one on my Game Boy, so technically I played as many SpongeBob games as I have Zeldas.
Has a Game Boy, but hasn't played the first Legend of Zelda.
Link's Awakening,
at least.
So I played some of Link's Awakening on my Switch.
I think I'm gonna.
That's fair.
My pledge and buy you a bunch of Zelda games and just put them in the mail.
Sell you a Zelda care package. I don't think you're gonna have any difficulty finding those in Japan.
Yeah,
no,
should be fine.
It's very, very true.
I'm excited.
On your top secret government mission.
And everything over there.
Hell yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on cranberries?
You know, I don't think I've ever just eaten a cranberry by itself before.
Okay.
Have you ever eaten a crazy
cranberry jelly? I've had cranberry whatever, but never just eaten a cranberry, so I don't really know.
What is the deepest water that you would stand in before you go, uh-oh?
Stand in?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like 6'3", so I could probably stand in like 6'1", and that'd be good, right?
I don't know. I'd panic as soon as it hits my nips, I'm panicking. So,
you know,
it's a little premature.
I could probably do like 8 feet. That would probably be the deepest I would stand in.
Okay.
With nothing. Yeah. I'm not a huge depth person in the water. Like, I don't like swimming in deep water.
Sure.
Even though I said go to the bottom of the ocean, I know that comes.
Right, yeah, but you can do it. No problem. Fear is gone when you do that. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
I think flight would be a lot more convenient.
Mm-hmm. I think a 6'3" thing flying around is the sight to behold.
Now, if I like slam into something, do I actually just like die?
Probably.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you could just fly. That's all it is.
Yeah, all you can do is fly. But, you know, in the same vein, though, we could also ask you super speed or super strength.
Like super speed, I'd definitely just die if I ran into.
I mean, everything seems slower to you. Like, think about how the Flash movie is. Like, everything's in slow motion, but you're just kind of using the speed force. The speed force. Yeah.
I think I would choose speed. I think that's. Mm. You see, I like convenience. I have to get things quickly.
Sure.
Get to places quick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right. Well, I like this next one. Would you rather have one real get out of jail free card or a key that opens any door or vault or lockbox or locker?
I was going to say the key does both, right? You just unlock it and walk out of jail. So
what's those like fancy, like, you know, super intense glass door jails, like the Hannibal Lecter jail. That's the jail you're in.
No. I still think I'd take the key.
Hell yeah.
I still think I'd take the key.
Hell yeah. So you're wearing a Squirtle hat. I got the Bulbasaur hat. What are your thoughts on Charizard?
Or why Charmander? Why is Charmander a bitch?
I never was a huge, like, of course, I played Fire Red as a kid. That was my first Pokemon game. And like, you're going to pick Charizard because he's the one on the cartridge and you see him. But then I was like, this guy's not special. I have Pidgeot. Why do I need a stupid wing attack and all this crap? So then I went Blastoise. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, this guy has cannons. Like, what more do you need in life?
A legit tank.
A legit tank. Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever read the Pokedex entry for Charmander?
No.
So the whole thing is that if the flame goes out on its tail,
it dies. I remember that from the show.
Yeah. So
rain is
spit rain, a strong gust.
Just a light mist. Yeah.
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 Exactly.
A really strong fart could take out
a blanket. You can just smother
it. In the show, Charizard and Charmander were kind of an asshole to Ash, right? So I never really liked him that much from that.
Yeah,
either, so
he leveled up too quickly.
I don't know why he's not so popular. I guess it's just a good design.
But. Yeah, it's a good design, but he's a dragon that's not a dragon type, which really just bothers the shit out of me. Yeah, but, exactly. You know.
So I'll take Dragonite over Charizard.
Hell yeah, Dragonite's dope.
Although
he looks like a jerk out. He looks like a jackass. Like, you're like, you look at the first two and you're like, yeah, this is going to be a cool dragon. You're like, what is this? He looks like Puff the Magic Dragon.
He's
what the hell
obese and, but he's got Dragon Claw.
Hi, guys, it's me. I'm a dragon. Like, geez. All right.
Well, I was expecting Sean to be like, I never played Pokemon before, ever.
No.
I got this hat out of a bin.
Yeah. Well, this one was a gift, so I didn't buy it. Type of thing. Yeah, to be fair.
Andy.
Oh, let's see now. I have yet to ask you, Sean. The pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Hell no.
No, this is.
I'm that's not a big yeah, yeah, person yeah, in general.
A lot of hell no's on this one lately.
Emphatic, it's emphatic.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not a pineapple person in general. Maybe I'll eat it, but definitely not on pizza. That's not for me.
Okay. All right. So everybody has, wallet, keys, phone, the three things that they put in their pockets when they're leaving the house. What's the fourth thing?
Watch. Apple Watch.
All right. Yeah. Apple Watch. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But you know what? I'm counting that as phone.
Okay.
Let's pick something else.
I got to look around. What do I got? Pants. Got to make sure you leave house with pants. Usually a hat, to be fair. Usually a hat.
A hat. Okay. So, all right.
That's probably what you're looking for for an answer.
That's fair. It's a fair answer.
What word best describes you? When you've been drinking too much, like let's say when your Kickstarter campaign is like
when you hit 125K,
right?
You're like, let's go,
and it's like you're in Japan. It's like you've had too much sake.
Sake for everyone, you know what I mean?
And you're spilling all those government secrets.
That's right. Yeah, so that doesn't happen
at the conveyor belt sushi bar. what word comes to mind? When loud. You've had too much to drink, Sean.
That's what I'm told.
Loud.
Like good loud, not bad loud. Like
okay. See, that's a difference.
Life of the
good
party
loud.
Loud.
Yes. Boisterous.
Okay. There is a clear distinction.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's like Becca loud, and then there's like life of the party loud.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Second one.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried loud.
People purposely trying to get me drunk when I'm in groups because they like me when I'm drunk.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right, what do you like Sean when he's drunk? Get him drunk because I can't. I can't think sober, Sean.
Hopefully not. But.
All right, this is gonna be my final question. Then Andy, I want you to hit us up with the final question. Okay.
The final.
All right. So your significant other or whomever, your best friend, doesn't matter who, gets a phone call. You have been arrested. What were you arrested for?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let's see. How can I not incriminate myself for my government job? let's say, geez. I was going to say money laundering, but I don't want the tax man on me here. So.
Yeah.
I stole a loaf of bread to give to the homeless person down the block.
Exactly. Let's go with that one.
I was being a good Samaritan, and I...
I got to go with a safe answer here. I don't know who's listening.
I robbed the hedge fund.
No one. We've lied to you.
This isn't actually a podcast. This is just a Zoom call.
No,
this is an actual, it's an interview process. Like,
yes. And congratulations.
You did not get the job. Congrats. You're terrible. All right.
Oh, damn.
your laptop will now self-destruct. Your doors are locked. Don't try to escape. All right, Andy, hit us up with our final question. the evening.
Can we do this again, but with Sean drunk? I'm curious what that's going to be like.
depends what his tech is like in Japan. I hear they got good internet. Why not?
Oh, yeah. From what I heard, they got really good internet.
You know, with the time zone difference, it could be like early morning for us, and it's like...
We could be sitting there with the coffee. He could be sitting there with the sake. It would be great.
Right.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Right.
Just plastered. If that's what you want, man. I mean,
mm-hmm. All right, Andy.
They are big drinkers over there, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. They like their drinks.
Just have your Hibiki whiskey and just...
Yeah.
Your Suntory. All right, Andy, Sean.
Let's do it.
This is the final question of the evening. We're so sad to see you go because you've been an amazing guest, but all good things must come to an end, unfortunately, and this is where the show ends. And it ends on a very special, albeit awkward moment in the final question. Mm-hmm. As I address the camera directly, so you can see my beautiful eyes and look directly into my soul. This is the last question. It's a simple choice. It is a binary choice. It is a one and or the other, as it were. And that is Andy or Steven?
That's a brutal question.
We need like a super cut of just the reaction of like these fucking assholes. Just cut out like...
How can you make it as awful as... Okay, let me just
cut out
the Zoom button here to cancel and
just
leave. I'll turn my phone over and leave. Okay, and I just say the name and click it and bye.
Well, the obvious answer is, and then it cuts out.
Did he...
Oh, man.
Did he just Sopranos us? I think so.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, if I got to answer... Oh, I'm going to have to go with Steven for the hat, man. I mean,
boom.
Hat buddies. Let's go.
Nailed it. Only for the
nailed
hat.
It. Oh, not only, he right. said that was one reason. That was one reason. It wasn't the only reason. He didn't Hold say on. Only because of the hat. That wasn't Hold what on. Came out of his mouth, Andy. Stop putting words in his mouth, okay?
I couldn't hear him over me clicking the edit your pledge button. So give me a minute. Yeah.
I didn't
get that answer clearly out of Sean's mouth. So if you want to restate that.
Well, I mean, you got a pretty sick blue shell shirt, so
he does.
No, listen, but actually, likes the blue shell. You've broken a very long winning streak for me, Sean, so it was bound to happen eventually.
Oh,
so
please.
You know, after like five or six in a row, it got kind of dull. So please. thank you for that. Thank you for giving Steven some self-confidence back, because I'm pretty sure
as if there's any other kind of confidence. All right, folks, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter, @dualscreens on Instagram. I am at @batchild27. Andy is at @pantsguy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS podcast. You can follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, or you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/batchild. Sean, where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find the game? Where can everybody find everything?
Yeah, so everything is linked on the website on holomento.com. Super easy to find. So first thing you type when you type Holomento, you're going to find the Steam page and the website. Super easy.
Awesome.
And then maybe Twitter, go to @HolomentoGame. Super easy. Subreddit, just Holomento. We got it all. Discord, we don't have a custom URL yet. So you'll have to grab that from one of the others, but it's linked everywhere else, so you can find it there.
Awesome. Well, good luck with everything, because we're early on, as we said when we were recording, but when this comes out, you're going to be right in the thick of it. So we hope that you are going to blow past your goal and hit the hell out of some stretch goals. We're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to being a part of it. Full disclosure, yes, Andy and I are both backing this game. Mm-hmm. So deal with it. But when we like something, we like something, and then we want to talk about that something and become friends with the person making that something, so you could suck it.
Yes.
All right. Folks, if you want to support us, you can do so on patreon.com/NDS podcast, where you will get this episode about 5 days before it goes live. So before everyone else hears it, you can hear it first, folks. Again, that's patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers. There's three of them now. Vegas Girl on Fire, Colton the Apprentice Nestler, and FNH Paul. We can't continue to grow without all of your support, and we love you so much for doing it. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the thumbs up. Please hit the subscribe button. The push to 1,000 continues. Andy, is there anything you want to tell our listeners before we go?
I love you all. I love this game, and I want it now.
Indeed. Indeed. That's going to bring us to the end. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please... be excellent to each other.